Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Thursday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show with Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. Have you ever been in a dysfunctional relationship and felt you had to stay in it for some reason? Have you ever removed someone from your life but felt you were leaving something behind? If you answer yes to any of these questions, you suffered from a soul tie between you and that person. Soul ties are spiritual bonds between people that could be problematic in most situations, causing hardship and emotional pain and suffering. It can occur in any type of relationship, causing codependency, factors of depression, and our dysfunctional life circumstances. Join Dr. Debbie Green on Soulful Solutions to learn more and take a closer look at symptoms and signs of negative soul ties. And perhaps you may see something in your life you may take a closer look at that needs adjustment. We'll be right back in just a moment with Dr. Debbie Green and Soulful Solutions. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515 605-9325 and press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and open your mic and get your comments. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Global Radio TV Show. If you want to join Dr. Debbie Green on Facebook Live, simply go to Facebook and go to Soulful Solutions to see and hear Dr. Debbie Green. This is an opportunity to really examine what you have experienced as a person in a relationship that may be toxic. We're often encouraged to stay in relationships because of the stigma of leaving a marriage or the stigma of not having a partner. And so we allow ourselves to experience abuse. We allow ourselves to experience disrespect. We find ourselves in states of depression rather than joy. And we blame ourselves for being inadequate when our partners are critical. We often don't have the support system, the family, the friends, the people who can give us real feedback based on what they're seeing. And sometimes we're too ashamed when things in our relationship go badly to tell people what we're going through because we fear judgment. We fear that we'll be judged harshly. And so we're joining Dr. Debbie Green here on Soulful Solutions.
Are you feeling well? I hope you are having a good day. And if it is, go ahead and shift. Go ahead and shift into what you want. Choose you today what you want to feel. So today's topic is going to be really, really great. We're going to be talking about understanding soul ties. And you're like, what is that? What is soul ties? Well, just stick around and you're going to hear a little more about it. Okay? And thank you for joining us.
And here we are with Dr. Debbie Green to talk about soul ties. And we were just talking about the relationships that people hold on to out of fear that they're going to be judged harshly if a relationship breaks up. Sometimes we stay in a marriage way too long because we fear the stigma of divorce, or we stay in a relationship way too long because we fear the feelings of loneliness of not having a partner. And sometimes we try to let someone go, and as you said, there's something that keeps holding us, this soul tie, so that even if the relationship is toxic, we can't let it go. And when I saw your topic today, I said, oh, here's another day of therapy for me. Okay, let me pay attention.
Yes. And you know, again, welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. You know, soul ties is a very odd thing. And I think we sometimes forget that we have this spiritual component to our being, you know. And when that spiritual component gets touched, impacted, it becomes, I don't know, it just meshes with whatever it is. And, you know, that's one of those things. It's hard to control the, you know, the non-tangible. But you have to understand how it controls you. You can't control it, but how it controls you, now that's a whole other category. So, you know, we want to dive down in that. And Naima, good morning.
Good morning to you, beautiful lady.
I know, today was just one. You know, this has been a week. I don't know about somebody else, but this has really been a week of different things. You know, we had the strawberry moon on Tuesday, and you know, we're still in those, what they call the retrograde, if you're familiar with that. Everything shifting and changing and things of that nature. So, you know, we're just, again, you know, this has been a really challenging month for, I think, the world. It's just, there's been a lot of things that's going on.
It's been challenging for the world.
Yes. So what I want to do is I want to start with just your simple, I call it simple, but nothing's really simplified, but the heterosexual part of this, okay, because the heterosexual, like the one-on-one, like, you know, with spouses, you know, with lovers, partners, companions, I'm not, because there is soul ties with families, too. Mm-hmm. But this, I'm just going to start in this area so people can really get a good understanding of it. What is a soul tie? It is a spiritual bond that is impacted by another person's soul to yours. And if that person has some negative connotations, when I say connotations, I'm talking about actions, habits, responses, things of that nature, even mental illness or any of those areas that affect the mind, okay, and the spirit of that human being, is a good chance that it really does transfer.
Wow.
It really does. Okay, let me prove my point. Have you ever been in a relationship and it just seems like, since you've been knowing this person, things started changing you. You know, you start reacting a little different. Sometimes you get more irritable than most. Even sometimes sleep patterns start to change. Eating patterns start to change.
Yes.
And you may, you know, think nothing of it. You may think, oh, it's just me. Maybe I'm working too hard. Maybe I'm stressed out. Or, you know, all the above. You know? So you kind of go along with it, not really realizing, you know, that there is an issue there, that this person has an unhealthy soul tie. Now, we got healthy soul ties and unhealthy soul ties. So that's the unhealthy soul tie. Now, the healthy soul ties, when you feel empowered by that person, you feel motivated, you feel like, wow, you know, since I met you, everything seems like it's changed for the better. You know, I feel so good. I feel so, you know. So that's a healthy transference of soul ties. So do you see the difference?
Oh, absolutely.
You should be able to recognize if it's unhealthy, and you should be able to recognize if it's unhealthy. If you are paying attention, you have to have self-awareness. Otherwise, you just think, oh, it's just me. I'm the person that, my sleep habits have changed. Why they've changed? And you don't even ask yourself that question because you think it's just a part of your life. Everything is just not a part of your life because we are spiritual beings and people transfer energies all the time.
What I have observed and maybe even experienced, we tend to believe that personal intimate relationships are supposed to be full of drama if we have seen that in our lives. So we may have someone in our life that is constantly affecting our moods, causing us extreme mood swings. We're always upset. We get into arguments. We go into depressions. We have those disrupted sleep patterns because we're disturbed about things that happen, conflicts that are between us. We say, but I love this person. But yet your life is disturbed by them. And you can't get out, you can't pull yourself out of that relationship. But you're believing because of the intensity of it, it's supposed to continue. It's supposed to be a part of your life because you may have grown up in a lot of drama where there was always intensity of emotions and conflicts and emotional upset where there's, you know, fights and then you make up, and you know, it break up to make up, that's all we do, remember that song? So some people, they believe that this is, we were in love, that's why we're doing this. But it's an unhealthy relationship because it creates disruption in your state of well-being, but the intensity of the emotion, when you do make up and you're loving each other again and all of that, so you feel like, well, this must be it. But there's that extreme. And so when you go to the negative extreme, it's very negative. But then when you go to the positive, there's this extreme feeling, this emotion, this attachment. And if people have seen these kinds of relationships in their own lives growing up, and then they establish that kind of relationship with someone, as toxic as it is, they believe that this is the way it's supposed to be because that's what they have experienced or witnessed around them. So how does a person know that this attachment they have to someone is unhealthy when the only relationships they've seen and the only examples they've had have been the unhealthy ones?
Well, again, we go back to that self-awareness that most people don't, that's a glass of water people don't drink every day, okay? We get up and we start moving, we become human doings. We forget how to be. Human beings are the ones that have self-awareness. That means, okay, what am I doing? What's going on with my life? What's going on with my mind? What's going on with my heart? How's my body reacting? What's my spirit saying? Okay, that means that you have a self-awareness of what is going on with your being, all right? Most people jump up every day, hit the road. They get dressed, moving on. No, they'll take care of this outer person, but the inner person, they have no type of understanding. Okay, even whether they grew up in a dysfunctional household, okay, all of that is external, right? Okay, when we were children, we learned by osmosis. It literally got into, it just meshes all into our being. And then we think that we're supposed to, again, influence However, guess what? As time goes on, you have to choose. You have to choose to live this way, or you have to choose to come out. And, you know, we know some people who grew up in dysfunctional homes, they usually come out after a period of time because life is a learning curve. Either you're going to learn from it, you're going to keep going through it over and over and over again. And even though, you know, some people do cycle, they do cycle in negative energy, but as, like I said, you know, the light should come on at some given point to say, hey, something is wrong. We have to do something else instead of just saying, you know, oh, it woe is me, being the victim of the circumstance. So with this particular situation, Naima, is that even if that person is permeated mentally by any type of dysfunctions in the home as they grew up and as they become the adult, all right, so that is a contributing factor of why they keep the soul tie alive. Do you see what I'm saying? Because they don't know the difference between a functional relationship from a dysfunctional relationship.
I think that's probably the greatest challenge that people have. If you don't have an image of what a functional relationship looks like, if you don't even know what it feels like to be in a functional relationship where you are at peace, you're calm, you're not worried about the next trigger for an argument, you're not always trying to reset your moods back to calm because you're in distress after this last conversation. When you don't know what it feels like to not be in that state of being, then you remain in that state of being, and you remain in a relationship that creates that because that's your normal. That's what feels familiar to you. And how many of us have really felt what a peaceful, loving, accepting relationship feels like? How many of us have grown up with that or even witnessed our parents with that so that we can recognize it when we have it and recognize it when we don't have it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Again, I can't say enough about loving oneself, okay? So if I love myself, I would not allow myself to put myself into anything that's dysfunctional that is going to destroy my being, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, economically, if I love myself. However, if I have no self-awareness and no self-identity of who I am or what I should be, I will allow anything because I don't know what my limits are. I don't have any boundaries. I take away from my choice. I take away from self-advocating because I don't put myself in that position to advocate for myself. So therefore, I will find myself in certain situations, dire circumstances, that I really don't want to be in. But then I become very passive-aggressive because, remember, I don't love myself. Mm. And I have not had that understanding of what love means. Oh, I can love everyone else. That's very easy for me. I can give everybody the heart out of my body, but when it comes to me, I don't even want to even receive a present from anyone.
Mm. So is a person conditioned to be that way by treatments that they may have received growing up that gives them the subconscious belief that they are of lesser value than others? I've seen various speakers, you know, talk about how they evolved out of that self-deprecating, you know, mm-hmm. attitude by realizing that they didn't love themselves, but prior to that, they were a doormat. They did allow people to walk all over them. They did always feel like they had to put other people first. Are children kind of groomed to accept abuse by the way they're treated in the home? Say if you've got a particular child and that's the one that, you know, like the Cinderella effect, where that's the one that you make do all the chores, or that's the one that you speak harshly to, or you know, that's the one that you tell they're ugly, or you know, they're too fat or too skinny or too tall or too short, whatever it is, that's the one that you make feel bad. And so they're always striving to please people because they've been given the subconscious message that they are lesser than others. Does that happen where people actually are groomed to accept mistreatment?
Well, there's this thing called learned helplessness. So think about it. If you put two children in two different atmospheres, you put one in a functional home, which is giving love, giving nurture, spoken word acknowledgement, which is you are good, you are wonderful, you can accomplish things. Even if you make a mistake, you still can accomplish things. You did the best you can type of atmosphere, mm-hmm. You know. And don't live for me, but live for yourself. Make your own bed. Take care of yourself atmosphere. Then the next atmosphere another child could be in that doesn't get acknowledgement, no verbal acknowledgement, no type of nurturing, no type of attention as far as touch, love. You know, parents may be saying, you know, oh, I love you when I, you know, buy you a pair of shoes.
Mm.
You know, I love you when you got a plate of food on the table. But as far as me coming to tell you I love you, and my actions and my words, that's not there. I very seldom, this is how I tell you, I take care of you, don't I?
Yes.
Don't I take care of you?
Don't I take care of you?
Did you hear this? And some parents, and you know, don't I take care of you?
And
okay,
that's
all right.
Right.
So again, that child doesn't get the proper nourishment because see, the mind is very pliable, and the heart is yielding. The mind is pliable, and the heart is yielding, which means the heart has to acknowledge love, because it's either going to acknowledge love or acknowledge hate. Because they have emotional intelligence. You see what I'm saying? So it gets really what they call confused what it is. Like, okay, you're telling me that if you holler or scream or yell at me that you love me. So is that love?
But that's what we're told.
If you sit down and you talk to me in a normal volume, pitch, and tone, you know, and explain to me what I'm doing wrong, okay, you love me. Okay, is that what love is? So, you know, different things, again, how a person grew up, are how they are rare in their home, that actually changes the way that person thinks of itself, you know what I'm saying, or what they perceive the world is. It changes what they call the receptors. Receptors is what I'm receiving in, and perception is what I'm pulling out.
Mm.
Okay, so if they ever get altered, it alters the ego, Naima, and when the ego is altered, then again, it sends these wrong messages of a person's perception of a certain situation.
Mm.
So in this case, when we deal with soul ties, a person that is attached to a negative soul tie often feels responsible and feels they have to save that person, and they feel that that's their obligation.
Wow.
That I have to save you. I have to be here for you because you don't. You know, I see that you're not doing it. You're not doing it for yourself.
Mm.
So soul ties creates codependency. It's a factor of depression and dysfunctional circumstances.
Mm.
We
need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to explore that very common upbringing of not expressing love to a child. I've observed there's a whole generation, and maybe even more, maybe several generations back, where the belief was, I don't want the child to get spoiled. So I don't, you know, you don't express any kind of verbal love or physical affection because you think that will spoil the child and make them needy. That is a philosophy that I've seen parents believe, and I don't know where that came from, but, you know, we can talk about that when we come back. What is the effects of that when you get no verbal or physical expression of love and the attitude is, well, I take care of you, don't I? How does that make you feel? So we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Anybody who's ever been in a domestic violence relationship, that is something you feel, like I'm leaving something, you know. Even though all the signs, all the bells and whistles are telling you, this is dysfunctional. This is hard. This is unhealthy. This is emotional trying. So why am I here? Why do I feel like I have to be here? Why did I ever go back? Okay, you hear about these stories all the time. Someone that has a dysfunctional relationship, physical abuse, emotional, mental abuse, but left that person and then went back to them. What causes that? A soul tie. That's what causes that.
It's,
how do we break that thing, Naima?
Well, that's the great question. How do you break a soul tie that is unhealthy? And one of the things that I look at is people who may be trying to fix a situation that was part of their childhood upbringing, like trying to get that parent that never showed them any affection to love them. So that becomes a pattern of I'm going to keep trying until I win them or I win their affection. And maybe that parent doesn't have the emotional capacity to show any affection. So we get stuck in a pattern of trying to get something from someone who doesn't have the capacity to give it. That parent that maybe works hard and they put food on the table, but they can never hug you. They can never say, I love you. They don't have the capacity to show physical affection or express it verbally. And so a child may always feel like they have to try to work to receive that, but it never comes. And so they end up getting tied to someone or getting involved with someone who's that same way, you know, critical all the time and you know, not affectionate and not encouraging. And so this person who's kind of been groomed to try to get approval from someone who doesn't give it, they end up in that same kind of relationship, still striving, you know, working hard, trying to, you know, they do everything they can for this person, and yet this person doesn't give them back the emotional satisfaction that they're seeking, that they never received, but they've got into the pattern of seeking it from someone who doesn't have the capacity to give it, and they stay stuck. And even if the relationship is verbally abusive or even physically abusive, as you said, and they leave, and yet it's like they keep coming back, I'm going to try again, maybe it's me, you know, what's that song Diana Ross said, I'm going to make you love me, ooh, yes I will. You can't make someone love you. But we can get stuck in a pattern of trying, stuck in an attachment to someone. And I know we've talked about this before, or probably on this show and even other shows, what happens to you biologically once you become sexually intimate with someone and oxytocin is released into your bloodstream from your brain. It's a bonding chemical, and you're bonding to someone who may not care for you. And so you keep feeling like you have to make that relationship work because you're biochemically bonded,
right,
even though emotionally it might be extremely dysfunctional and destructive to you.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you break that kind of a soul tie?
Well, once you realize, because, again, recognition has to be there. You know, the thing about this is, because the mind only is adaptable to more negative than it is positive, unfortunately. We have over 40 to 50,000 thoughts a day, Naima, and 80% of those are negative thoughts, 20% are actually positive thoughts, and this has been scientifically proven. So you have to be able to filter. You have to filter what it is that is productive and what is non-productive. Most people don't even think about filtering. They're just, again, not even conscious of the thought patterns that even flow through their brain, you know? And whatever, which one you gravitate to the most is what you're pretty much going to get. So you start creating a virtual mindset that may not be in touch with reality, okay? So reality may say to you, oh, hey, get out of that relationship very quickly because it's extremely unhealthy and it's causing damage. But your virtual mind can say, oh, no, they love me. They just don't know how to express love. I'm going to teach them how to love me because that's what I've been always doing. I've been always giving myself to other people, and I don't know anything else to do. So maybe I'm just stuck in this relationship because this is all I can have. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
So now one is not in touch with their own reality. The reality is not there. It's not present. But however, if you acknowledge that there is a non-functional productivity to yourself, you have to look at self. You can't just look at the other person, what they're doing. Like, what am I doing? Why is this holding me here? What's causing me to stay in this dysfunctional relationship when I know it's verbally assaultive? I know it's emotionally abusive. Why am I presently still allowing myself to be here? And then you have to do what they call soul searching. Okay, the only way to get rid of a soul tie is to soul search. Find out what is attachment. What's the attachment there? You know? And when you find the why, then you got to go look for the root. Because there's a root. There's something holding you there. And that thing is pretty much called fear. False evidence appearing real. Fear disguises itself in many, many different ways to keep people captive emotionally, mentally, spiritually. That's what it does. It feeds off all of the non-tangible parts of us. Not the tangible, the non-tangible, because that's where all our strengths are. All the strength, all the power in the human being is non-tangible. It's not something you can touch. You know, our physical bodies are not as strong without the non-tangible. It doesn't even exist, does it?
Not at all.
If you remove the soul from a person, this is just a hunk of clay, a dust. Goes back to where it comes from. So that's the reason why that energy has to go and hold on and capture itself the different circumstances, different situations of the non-tangible of the person, the thoughts, the feelings, you know, the energy that's inside that person. Then it starts to cause what they call cognitive thought patterns, distortions, which is then creating this dysfunctional virtual reality. So, you get me?
Oh,
do you see how one thing will cause another thing to happen? It starts from childhood, yes, you're absolutely correct. And then it continues to go until, again, one recognizes. Now, usually we hope that they don't recognize it if they don't fall in depression. Okay? I have some kind of great anxiety, generalized anxiety disorder, unspecified disorder, which means I'm just unsettled and I don't know why, and there's not anything to attach me to as a diagnosis. I come and go, and I just have this MCI, which is mild cognitive impairment, you know. One minute I seem like I'm functional, next minute I'm seeing like I'm not. Okay, something is disturbing your spirit. It's disturbing your soul. That's what's going on. You go to a medical professional, oh, you're okay. There's something wrong with your heart, lungs, you know. None of that. It's spiritual thing that you're dealing with. Wake up, people. There's not a pill. There's not an injection for that.
And yet people will end up taking medication for depression,
right?
Because they think that if I do something to change my body chemistry, then I've solved the problem. But it's the spiritual energy that you're giving your body that's creating the problem. So
correct.
If you don't fix that, then you just recreate the problem, and then you have to keep taking the medication to counter the effects of the problem that you're creating with your spiritual energy.
And guess what? The medication doesn't even work like that. Okay. When I talk to my patients at work, Manu, I tell them this. I say, all right, there's two sides to any mental illness. It's a psychological side. Really, it's three sides. There's really three sides. It's a spiritual side, it's a psychological side, and it's a biochemical. Okay? Mm. Biochemical is the chemistry that's in the brain. That's the neuron transmitters dealing with dopamine, serotonin, endorphins, all of the uptake, all of the things that cause this brain to work functional. Mm-hmm. Functional. Not dysfunctional, but functional. All right? So there's medications that can, you know, aid in those areas to give you what is called a baseline bump. Baseline bump, when I feel okay, but then something still ain't right. That's because you got to work on the other parts of you. Okay? Mm. So the other parts of you, which people come in and get psychotherapy with medication, management, right? And then they realize, okay, wow, so you mean to tell me there's no actions for behavior, there's no actions for habits, there's no action, no pills, excuse me, no pill for behavior, no pill for actions, no pills for anything that is psychologically inclined. No, there isn't. There's no happy pill, okay? No happy pill. I wish I did have a Naima. I will be a trillionaire. If I can give a person a pill, all your life will be better. Just take this one little blue pill. Hey, we knew the Matrix. We said choose the red one or the blue one, right? Okay? So what I'm saying is the psychological part, now a person has to look at themselves.
Yes.
The thing that they don't want to look at, oh, they can look at everybody else. They can be there for everybody else. Oh, they can call this one, you need to do this and you need to do that. Oh, I'm here for you. But what's wrong with this picture? I'm not here for myself. I'm neglecting the self big time. Mm. I'm neglecting my spirit. I'm neglecting my mind. I'm neglecting my heart. So all of that part is suffering from me. And even if there is a soul tie there, I don't even recognize it. Because I've been neglecting it so long.
Mm.
That soul tie has become a part of me.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
So,
and when they sit there, hold on one second, let me say this. When they sit there and I tell them this, I say, you have been impacted. I think you've been word. You've been impacted by circumstance, situations, from people, places, and things. That's caused fragmentation, which is brokenness. How do we fix this? You got to go soul search and fix yourself, repair, heal, changing habits, changing responses. Stop being impulsive and start thinking with your executive function of your brain. I'm sorry, you're going to say what you say.
Well, you know, the biochemical responses that we receive when we're going through that negative experience with someone, the brain chemistry that we create that leads to depression, that's what makes us start looking for some other artificial means to alter that body chemistry. And that gets us into the cycle of alcoholism or drug use, even if it's prescription drugs. It's to counteract the effects of the depression that comes about when a relationship is disturbing and the impact of an encounter with someone who you believe you love is negative. And so we get into a cycle of trying to find that happy pill, and it comes in the forms of some other substance, or even sometimes sex, which does alter your body chemistry. And I've seen this as a pattern, and you probably see it all the time, especially with men, a lot of times with women as well, but definitely with men, when they're sexual encounters are really used like you use a drug. You know, I just need to make myself feel good because, you know, I just had a negative encounter with somebody, you know, bad relationship. I'm sad, so I'll go and have sex with this person, and then it'll release all the biochemical changes in my body that makes me physically feel good, but I don't really have an emotional tie with this person that I've gotten, that I've had a physically intimate expression with. I just needed basically to use their body as a drug, you know, to give me the sensation that would reset my body chemistry, you know, that would release those endorphins into my bloodstream and all of that. So I basically, you know, use that person as you use a drug, you know, and there was no relationship. There was just an experience that helped me feel better biochemically. And I see that happening often without a realization that this is what I'm doing, and I'm not recognizing the impact that I'm having on this other being that thought there was an emotional tie, but there was not. There was just my need to, you know, release some dopamine and feel good, you know, biochemically, because perhaps I'm under stress in some other area of my life, or I'm sad because of some other relationship. And so this is how I make myself feel better. That kind of behavior has basically been condoned because it's not really understood that that's exactly what you're doing. You're just using another person as a drug to make yourself feel better, but it has nothing to do with, you know, relationship building or any of that. And, you know, I don't even know if men talk about that between themselves. I'd love to hear a man's opinion on that. If you know, you're listening online, run on switchboard now, feel free to press one. I know during one of our men-only discussions, the men were talking about what they had been told by older men, you know, get as much sex and as from as many as you can. You know, that's the mark of manhood. And, of course, you know, it can easily become like an addictive drug, you know, going out, and then you learn the skills of seduction and all of those things, but really that person is being used as the drug that makes you feel better, and it doesn't have anything to do with building a relationship or a partnership or a family or love. It is the biochemical effects of the sexual experience, and we have allowed this thought to be spread as an acceptable means of making oneself feel better without regard to the being that you are affecting. And there has not been a question of this for a long time.
Yes.
Because it's an effective way of making yourself feel better. Your body does respond. You know, the brain releases all of what is necessary to bring you back up to a state of joy and ecstasy for that moment.
But that's what I'm trying to tell you. These are temporary things.
Yeah.
So, which means that a person can do drugs. They can have sex, they can go shopping, whatever they want to do to avoid looking at that soul tie and dealing with it, you know, because that's what it is. It's called compensation, you know, for avoidance. That's what it is. Oh, I'll feel better if I take a drink. I'll feel better if I, you know, if I go and I smoke some marijuana. Vienna Robinson, Queen B, hello, good morning. Yes, she's on Facebook Live, and she says, yes, many people using sex, drugs, and alcohol to change the low vibration emotions that surface often in dysfunctional relationships. Soul-searching time, absolutely. Absolutely. And she also said, Grand Rising, great deliverance message, powerful truth. I want my happy pill. You know, I'm serious. That's the only way you're going to really understand your being. It's the soul search, and you have to look at yourself, you know, and understand your own truths. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not a perfect way to do it. It's not a wrong or right way. You know, you say, you know, look, say, is there a part of myself that is dysfunctional? And we all have some type of dysfunctionality. No one's perfect on this earth, even though some may think they are. You know, but you no, you're not. Everything has an imperfection. So that doesn't mean that you're going to lead a life of just unhappiness. You know, but you can't be addicted to unhappiness. You know, you have to have some kind of awareness of, you know, we will have good days, we will have bad days, but let me do my limit and boundary time, you know. I want to limit the time that I put into dysfunctionality, because it's easy to get comfortable there in that comfort zone of being dysfunctional. Because it's normal.
It is normal
as the day is long.
Yeah.
And once you make your bed there, it's hard to wake up from it.
Right.
So,
I think that's where a lot of people find themselves. Dysfunction has become normal, and that might be the only experience they've had. So if you don't know what functional feels like, then dysfunctional is your norm. And how do you discover how to be functional? How do you discover how to be healthy when that has not been your experience? You don't know how to recall that feeling because it isn't there. It isn't a part of your memory. You have not had it. And I remember reading a book by a doctor friend of mine. As a matter of fact, I'm going to try to get him on one of our shows, where he realized his whole life he had been depressed. He had gone through, you know, in his childhood a sexual assault that just left an undercurrent of depression in him. And so he became a drug user, even though he was a medical doctor. And it nearly destroyed his life. And then when he finally got to a point of realization, and he realized he was even using women as a drug. You know, he didn't have good relationships. He just had sexual encounters, but it made him feel better. So he realized this whole pattern had to do with this undercurrent of depression that he always felt. And then when he finally realized that that's what it was and got off the drugs, and then through therapy was able to actually feel better, he said, I never knew what it felt like not to feel bad and then to have to do something to get rid of the bad feeling. I didn't know what it felt like to have this as the way of being, where I'm actually at inner peace and there is no depression that I'm trying to lift myself out of with either, you know, drugs, alcohol, or sex, you know. So for some people, that depressed state might have been a lifelong way of being, and they've done all these other things to compensate, as you've said. And sometimes especially if we've got a soul tie with someone and we can't let it go and they, then doing things to get rid of the pain becomes a habit.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, we got to take another break. And then we got a caller on the line. And if you're on our switchboard and have a question or comment, please press 1. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, please call in 515-605-9325 and press 1. And that lights your number up on our switchboard, you know, and then we'll know you have something to say, and we'll open your mic and let you share your thoughts. You're listening to and watching Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. You can go to Facebook, live and type in Soulful Solutions and you'll see the beautiful Dr. Debbie Green. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on Cable TV Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
And watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And I'm Naima Latif, along with our wonderful host, Dr. Debbie Green. Would you like to take a call now?
Yes, please.
All right. Well, let us go to our phone lines and go to 773-521. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green regarding soul ties. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
This is the Cherokee Indian Kufi. I used to go to a class called Single Pleasing the Lord, that singles is not a problem, but it's a gift. And I went to that class for 7 years, and she taught us about soul ties. Soul ties, like she explained, putting glue on two pieces of paper and attaching them together. And then when you realize it's not working, try to separate. And a part of the paper is over here, you know what I mean? And so, I mean, you guys know me for a long time, and you know that I have convictions. You guys know that I'm Cherokee. You guys know that I'm in business. I'm not from Africa. But African people are my cousin. You guys already know that. That's why I speak for myself. I don't speak for anybody else. But I'm at a. It says in the word, when a man finds a good woman, he finds favor with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. that is kind of like a yin and a yang, the female spirit and the feminine spirit and the male spirit meeting, causing a ignition. I met a sister at my job a couple of weeks ago, and I asked her, I said, are you Indian? She goes, yeah, I'm Cherokee. I go, what? And just yesterday, we were singing together harmonically. Such a beautiful experience to know that she knows that, you know, who she is by her nature.
So, Kufi, do you think you've maybe found a soulmate or someone with whom you can have a healthy soul tie with because you all are spiritually in alignment?
It's a possibility.
Okay.
I didn't consider that, but what I'm saying is I would like to bring the other side of the combustion. You guys are bringing the combustion. You know, you're bringing all, you know, the issues and negativity, and I understand that's going to capture everyone. I'd like to bring the other side of that. How does a good relationship looks like? And a good relationship is a reflection of yourself. Okay? It's a reflection of yourself. When you see that person, you're actually seeing yourself. And then when they see you, they see themselves. You know what I mean? In other words, to say we have something in common that we can build on. You know, the best relationship that people ever have, guess where it's at? It's in school. It's in grade school, high school, and college. Because you know what? You all got something in common. When you get out of college, that's when it's hard to meet somebody. Now you're saying, well, I need somebody with a car. I need somebody who's got this type of money. I need somebody who's living this type of life. I need somebody who looks this way. I need somebody who's going to match my income. You don't say that in grade school or high school or college. I've been there. I messed up a lot of relationships. Does that make sense? When you're in grade school, high school, and college, you got something in common. But when you get out of college and out of school, oh, my God. You see?
Well, that's a very interesting observation because when you are in school, as you said, if you meet someone and you're, say, taking the same class, that shows you have a common interest, or you meet someone new in the same organization, that means you have a common interest. So there's a commonality of, you know, inner goals or inner vision, or even if you meet someone in whatever religious organization you may be a part of, that means you have a common spiritual vision. Or even as you said, you meet someone who identifies culturally and historically with your experience. There's a commonality. So I think when people look at why they're drawn to somebody, they have to, as Dr. Debbie said, you have to do some soul searching. Why are you drawn to that person? Is it something on the inside that you share, or is it something that you're lacking on the inside that you hope them to fulfill, such as, you know, I'm lacking self-love, so I'm going to look for someone who can make me feel loved. And then I get tied to them like those two pieces of paper flew together, but they really don't belong together.
Yeah, but when you get in those situations, you got to pray yourself out. It's called forgiveness. You got to say, I forgive myself for connecting with that person. Because you can have a soul tie with your family, soul tie, and that's really the most hardest thing for people to deal with, a soul tie. In other words, you've given up your inner self and attached it to someone who doesn't even know, they don't know that deeper love like that. You know, it's like, you know, could you constantly ask the person, do you really love me? I don't feel like you love me. you don't love me. You don't love me, you know, because that person might be taking advantage of you in the fleshly state. But soul ties is when you enter a spiritual state, giving your trust, giving your, you know, you're praying with this person. You're giving your inner being with this person, and they're using you. And then you realize after three children or after this long relationship, you're like, and because some people stay together for their children, you see. But even after college, to meet someone, it's like you might meet someone at a vegetable stand. You know, they may like the tomatoes, and you like those tomatoes? How do you make those? It's really hard to meet someone who has common interests, like you said, religion or whatever. That's the hardest part. You just can't take somebody just because they're wearing a hair weave, makeup, and a sexy dress. And that's where we're at today. Hair weave, makeup, eyelashes, like wings. I call them eye wings. You know, because it's supposed to make a man kind of, you know. But
you're saying that when you get attracted to the outer being, and there may not be any authentic spiritual reasons, or even emotional or intellectual commonality with that person, and you come attached to them or get involved with them, but there really was nothing substance to hold you together other than perhaps the initial physical attraction. And this is
physical attraction is good. You're attracted to a car the way it looks, but you want to know how the engine works. You know, this girl called me the other day. She goes, James, you didn't call me for a couple of days. What's wrong? You know, we're friends. And she just likes to, you have so much knowledge. I'm getting, and she has thousands of questions. When I talk to her, she's not the one for me. She's going to drain me. You see? When you meet someone, you have to realize that you both are each other's counsel. You know, and for a masculine man like myself, and then you have a feminine woman, you balance this stuff because she's giving you a different perspective, and I'm giving her a different perspective on things, and that's how you come into agreement. But if you ever seen two apples in a basket, and then one of those apples are spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to the next apple that's next to it?
Well, it said what does the quality of rotting apples tend to spread? I guess that's the thought.
Yep, and then that's what happens when we meeting hurt people. They want to hurt. This person has an addiction, drinking or drugs or something that they're doing, and it's like, I'm going to attach my problem to them and see how they handle it. And guess what? Mm-hmm. If you say, no, I'm not going to experience that with you, that's healing for that person. We become, oh, let's go out, girl. Let's go out to this club tonight. No, I don't want to go. And then they may not go, you see. So it's all about decision, huh? It's all about decisions and understanding what you want out of life. You don't want to be next to someone who's spoiled. And so when you meet in those relationships, everybody likes to just get physical. And then they attach themselves to a soul tie before they even found out what that person's name is. They don't even know that person's last name. They don't know that person's...
I've seen that happen, too. Well, let me get some responses to Dr. Debbie on
some
points.
I know I'm putting a lot on...
Let me get
a lot on the table.
Dr. Debbie, some points that you've raised, particularly people who are getting together for superficial reasons, and then they create a soul tie that should not be. And sometimes a person doesn't want to let go, even though it is not healthy. Let's get some responses from Dr. Debbie on some points that you've raised, Kufi, and many relationships start out with attraction for very superficial reasons, and then there's intimacy, which creates a soul tie. And and then sometimes people feel bound to try to make it last, and the foundation for it is not there. There is not common interest. There is not a common intellectual match. There is not a common drive or goals, and yet there was physical intimacy that created a soul tie that some, you know, one of them wants to, they can't let go, and that creates a lot of conflict. Because sometimes there's anger, you know, why aren't you calling me? Why aren't you spending time with me? Because, you know, the oxytocin in your brain bonded with this person that really was not a match.
Yeah, and, but what we are not really, I'm not sure if you're missing a point, but I'm just going to say it. Spiritual energy doesn't ask for permission. Okay? So which means that people create soul ties unknowingly, whether they create them or not. The only way, once the soul tie is created, then it's going to start to change. As I said earlier, I said it's unhealthy soul ties and it's healthy soul ties. When we come into a person's life, when they come into our lives, it's going to be one of two things that are going to happen. It's either going to get better or it's going to get worse. You know, there's no gray shaded area. All of the choices, decisions that each person makes is pretty much on them, whether they stay in the relationship or whether they come out. You know, they can ponder it. They can contemplate. They can create any other coping mechanisms because they're having a hard time deciding, such as, you know, sex their way out, drink their way out, drug their way out, of staying in or whatever the case is. Whatever choices are going to be made is going to be made by them independently. Independently. The only time it becomes mutual is they got an open communication with each other, and the mutual communication is something that is a conversation saying, hey, I think we have an issue. We have an issue that I am not healthy for you and you're not healthy for me. You see what I'm saying? And so let's make a decision whether we want to depart or go our separate ways as friends before we create ourselves as enemies.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay, but that takes a conversation for a mature level as well as communication outlet of integrity and dignity and respect for each and every, each person, right?
Right?
Okay, so if that doesn't happen, then that all they're going to do is cycle in themselves, cycle in this whatever is either functional or dysfunctional. There's no gray shade area. Because, again, you don't give permission to spirit. Spirit moves on its own. It doesn't, you know, we don't say, hold up, my spiritual soul, I don't want you to move in that area. No, the soul has no sense of space and time. It doesn't, there's no rationale. The only rationale, reasoning, logic we have is in our executive functions in our brain. In our brain. Brains make decisions. Brain makes choices. And then it cohorts with our heart to do so. But the spirit man is going to flow wherever it's flowing. And wherever you put it at, it's just going to flow. It's going to receive whatever is coming in, and it's going to give something going out. That's the way it works.
So now what about those situations you mentioned earlier about people who feel bound to stay with someone who has a problem, you know, the enabler for the alcoholic or the drug user? Oh, well, I, you know, he needs me. she needs me, you know, and so they feel tied to someone who may be on a downward spiral because of their own inner turmoil, and so rather than step away and say, well, I'm not going to support you in destroying yourself, it's like, well, I got to be there for you, you know, I got to bail you out of jail every time you get arrested.
Codependency. No, ma'am. That's unhealthy.
So where does that, how does that evolve to that point where someone feels like I can't leave them, I can't let go, I can't abandon them. They feel like if I don't go and get them out of jail this time, I'm abandoning them. Or if I don't, you know, be there when they come stumbling in drunk and abusive, then I'm not being, I'm not being loyal to them. I mean, it's just staying there no matter what and believing that that is the noble thing to do, even though this person is showing their own signs of self-hatred and self-destruction. But this loyal partner that wants to be loyal won't let go. What is that? Why does that develop?
Let me give you an example so you can understand. There's a patient that actually right now that was in the hospital specifically with this same situation. Now, the thing about this is there's two parts to this. This one of those individuals was actually a person that, like you said, feels that they have to save this person, you know? So the other person that's dysfunctional with a drug addiction, as well as psychosis, because the drugs is causing the psychosis, okay? Psychosis is when the brain does things like hallucinate, audible hallucination, as well as visual hallucinations, and affecting the ADLs, activity of daily living. They're not able to get up like they should. They oversleep. They don't make decisions properly. They're impulsive living kind of person, okay? Mm-hmm. So this person that is trying to save this other individual has kept her children. Now, this has been 2 years. They've been friends for 2 years, okay? Now, the other person has a normal life. She's married. She has a child. She has a profession. She works in the mental health, field. But she feels in her mind that she has to save this person.
Mm.
Now, even though this person is totally dysfunctional, she's so dysfunctional that she has physically abused her more than one time, but still feels the total obligation to take care of her children, to provide her a place to live, even in her own residency with her own family.
Mm.
This is where codependency has went to its worst level, Naima. Not only is she an enabler, in her mind, she feels totally obligated to not even look at how she's becoming dysfunctional to contribute to a dysfunctional life of another human being.
Mm.
Contribute, yes. Because in order for that person to acknowledge that they have a serious issue, she would have to remove
step
herself
away
entirely from that person's life.
Yeah.
Okay? Again, she still, I feel I have to save her. I'm trying to save her.
Can't save her.
But it is a soul tie.
Mm.
And this is not biological.
But it's
soul
an emotional
tie. Is it a spiritual, spiritual transformation of a unhealthy soul tie to another individual, then causes that individual to make choices that are dysfunctional.
So is she fearing that if she doesn't support this woman, then the woman's children will suffer, and the woman will suffer, and then she'll feel guilty because here this woman is out on the street homeless.
She's already taking care of the children. She's trying to save her, but she cannot.
Mm.
She cannot do it. The only person who can save her is herself. She can save herself, but the person that's trying to save her is just cycling in the dysfunction.
So if she put the woman out on the street, would she then feel bad? Okay, now this woman's homeless.
Of course she's going to feel guilty because she's attached. She's emotionally attached. She's spiritually attached. She's mentally attached to this human being. But the thing about it is, you are attached to someone who is dysfunctional. And they're continuing to be dysfunctional. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to do anything. She had the opportunity to either go, the person that I'm talking about had the opportunity to go inpatient to get better. She chose something else. So she called the person that was trying to help her, that's literally a staff member of the hospital. Okay? She's calling her, oh, no, well, you know, they gave me, because she can't stay where she is. She needs to, she was trying to get outpatient help. She can't get outpatient help anymore because she's too far gone.
Wow.
She's suicidal.
Wow.
She's addicted. There's a lot going on where she needs to go inpatient, but she'd rather stay dysfunctional. That's what she has chose. So what should that person do that's trying to help her save her life? Ain't nothing else to do. You got to let her hit rock bottom.
So,
and take the chance. Take the chance that she hits rock bottom, and, you know, she can rebound and come back up, or
stay down. So what happens then, I guess, if a person is tied to someone who is self-destructive and suicidal, and they say, well, I'm just going to pull away from this situation. I can't help you. You've got to help yourself. And then the person commits suicide. Does then the impact of their suicide hurt the person who let them go? Will that be a guilt factor that they're carrying for the rest of their lives? Because, oh, I should have stayed there. I should have helped them. I should have tried to fix them. Not knowing that you can't fix someone, you can't save someone, and if they chose to take their life, you could not have stopped it?
No. You're right. That person will feel guilty. They will feel remorse and grief. But again, whether they live or die is not in their hands. Mm-hmm. It's in the person's hands that the life belongs to. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think
that person will have to get help so that they can heal. You know, after if that happens, because this happens many times, a lot of people try to save a lot of people from themselves.
Mm.
From themselves. They are their greatest enemy. You see what I'm saying? Trying to save from themselves. And you don't save that person because you have the inability to do so. So you run yourself ragged.
Mm.
You are miserable because this person is misery. Now misery has accompanied you.
And now you're
caught up in all that dysfunction, toxic relationship times 1,000.
Well, we got to take our last break, and when we come back, perhaps if you have been or are in such a relationship where you're tied to someone and it's unhealthy for you because they're unhealthy, and yet you can't break away and feel like you shouldn't break away, give us a call. 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. We're talking about soul ties and how to break the unhealthy ones and how to recognize when you have one and how to form a healthy one. We'll be right back after this last break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of our cells, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
About this thing called murder suicide. this thing called murder, suicide. Well, it's several things, several factors that lead up to this particular situation, which is horrid, how one person can destroy the lives of others, take away, slaughter, murder, because that's exactly what it is. Before I could get the words out of my mouth, but at the end of the day, 11 p.m., we heard about a family member, which is a person that was actually in that meeting, one of her very good friends of 30 years. Her son, the son-in-law killed her daughter, shot her, and killed a one-year-old baby.
Oh, no.
And himself.
Oh, no.
Do you see what I'm saying? Government's not doing anything. That's a show for a whole nother day. I am up to my, oh, my God, I'm up to my neck, my head in this situation right here. So what was going on with the soul tie, okay?
Mm.
What is it? What that energy, we know we can call several things there. We see a suicide ideation.
Mm-hmm.
We see obsession. We see rage. We see jealousy. We see envy, bitterness. Okay? All of that is very, very obvious. You can't miss it. Homicide. Murder. Now, this was a family, a normal family when they first met. Everything was okay. They were together for 3 years. Right? They were together. They had a child out of whatever love bond or whatever the case may be. And then there it goes. Something started happening. So who was dysfunctional in all of this? The husband.
Mm.
The husband had issues prior. And the wife, which is the mother of the child, did not take it seriously. He had issues. Issues, Naima. He went to jail for several things. He had a problem. I believe it was sexual molestations of a minor.
Wow.
It was some other things he went to jail for. Okay, but then look at this. So there's a soul tie. You got that soul tie with this man. All right, and then that soul tie turns into this toxic relationship.
Oh my!
And then you literally after he got jailed, you put a restraining order on him. Somehow he found his way back in the house. When he came in there, he tried to kill everyone. The only one survived was the grandmother.
Wow!
Barely.
Wow!
But then he snatches the baby, his own flesh and blood, and he kills her and kills himself.
That is so violent.
Do you see the rage in that? Do you see the toxic bacteria, mental, toxic, spiritual bacteria?
Yeah. I mean, it's not something that just happened overnight. This
is a
festering,
brewing
situation
in cycles of dysfunction. And again, we allow too much in our lives because we have no self-awareness, and we make every excuse in the world to think it's going to get better. How you can save someone who don't want to save themselves? Obviously, there was dysfunction. If you find out later on in the game, get out of there. Remove yourself some type of way so you can protect yourself.
So when someone is extremely possessive and controlling, and perhaps someone who needs to believe that that is love doesn't see that it's dysfunctional behavior, why is it that they don't see that extreme control and jealousy is a red flag that should alert you to this person's emotional imbalance that could turn toxic and deadly? What is it inside of us that doesn't recognize when something is not love, but it is one's own insecurity which you can't fix, you can't resolve by showing your loyalty to that person. What is inside of us that makes us not see when something is?
We go right back to what I said before. If I don't love myself, if I have no self-identity, I will allow anything anything in my life. I will allow people to treat me any type of way. I will allow dysfunction to be my portion of life because I don't have any guide. I don't have any limits. I don't have any boundaries with myself, my being. You see what I'm saying? So it's like anything that flows, it's just what it is. And I don't have no stopping and no nothing, no boundaries, no property lines. So I'm just allowing things. And the thing about I have no conscious awareness that this thing is getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm just there. I'm like a deer caught in the headlights. So that's what fear does. It makes us freeze.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? I'm not fighting. And then some of us fight our ways and still stay there freezing. Oh, I'm just going to fight and freeze.
Mm.
Instead of fighting, getting out of there, you know, we stay in that dysfunction. And when that person wants to attach itself to us like a leech, because that's what it is, because now the soul tie becomes toxic. I want you for myself. The brain is thinking obsessively, non-functional, in a healthy, functional, rational, reasonable, logical brain. No, now you are raw nerves, you are impulsive, and you are already destroyed. You've already your toxic level has surpassed your thinking.
Wow. Well, we got another caller on the line. I'd like to bring them in and perhaps a question and comment. Let me go in. Area code 407-701. Yes. Well, introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question, comment,
insight. I feel
insight.
So compassionate about that. Ooh.
Yes.
Grand Rising Sisters, this is Beata, your Friday morning host on the Female Solution and Sunday night host. This is just such an awesome, powerful discussion. I have people in my life who need this. I've been texting them saying, Female Solution, soul healing. I've been just sending it out there. But it's so powerful. I wanted to share this story, and then I want to remind people to join me tomorrow on my show. I lived in a huge apartment complex. It was actually condos being rented mostly. It was huge. It was spread out for like three blocks. And one day out of the blue, this news story was showing up that a man had kidnapped his children from a babysitter and was on the freeway. And the end result, unfortunately, was he killed the children and himself on the freeway. I was like, whoa. And it turns out this man was the children lived in my complex in the apartment complex, and he had taken them from the babysitter, kidnapped them, and then held them hostage. And then I think he went and did something to the wife. There's something happened. It was just horrible. And in that moment, I thought, well, I need to get to know my neighbor. This is crazy. I was like so sad for days, thinking, what if I had gotten to know my neighbor. So that just woke me up to the fact that you're talking about something that can escalate into something this horrific if we don't end these toxic relationships and be more mindful of why we're in them, soul searching and all that. So thank you for this topic because it'll touch everyone's life if people don't develop healthy relationships. Somebody's going to be affected by it eventually. You know, I think people are thinking, well, it's just me and that my partner or whatever, but it's going to reach out. If the toxicity doesn't end, if the healthy relationship doesn't develop, I'm seeing this could escalate to something worse like you're talking about. So anyway,
yeah.
That's just my personal story. Tomorrow I have an amazing guest. I'm so excited. This guy is from North Carolina, and He heals with cosmic geometry. He is an amazing artist. In fact, he's more than just an artist. He's a messenger for our time to bring us into a more conscious way of interacting with geometry, the sacredness of geometry and each other, and in his beautiful, beautiful art. So Van Dorn Henat is his name. He's a brother. With that name, I couldn't believe it's a brother, but you don't want to miss this show tomorrow because he is so full of wisdom about cosmic geometry and how energy can heal us. Join me tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time right here on The Female Solution. And ladies, go sisters, go sisters. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Viata. You know, as she was speaking about this person who now, you know, when someone lives near you, you feel connected when you hear a horrible news story. But the thing about it, and I guess that's something that people have to consider, if there is a toxic relationship and the aim is to, I don't know, punish that person who, you know, you feel may leave you or whatever, your violence is directed at that person. This is not a person who will just go out and kill people at random, but your intention is to hurt that person. So that's those situations. But now what happens in those cases, say like in the Uvalde situation? You know, obviously there was some deep dysfunction inside this young man who first shot his grandmother and then, you know, shot up the school. Totally unrelated people. And yet, you know, we know there had to have been some kind of personal trigger inside of him. You know, how do we know, or is there a way to know, that someone who has a personal crisis and they act out or are violent toward that person that they have the connection to, how do we determine if it could spread and indiscriminately cause pain and suffering to total strangers? Because at that point, you know, their total mind is dysfunctional. They are out of their minds at that point. How do we know that toxic relationship can then spread in toxicity to and harm strangers? Are there signs of that?
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you're referring to, of course, the Uvalde murderer, I mean, look what he did. He shot his matriarch first.
Yeah, and so somewhere
so that
was
energy.
The, yeah.
Right. Somewhere, something, as far as a soul tie, you know, between those two went toxic. Because he could have just left the home and went and did what he had to do, but he started there first. So he left a trail, as you can see, of nothing but bloodshed. But it started there, but it was already festered inside of him for a period of time. Because he was bragging on hurting people, you know, as far as he said everyone needs to be ready. He was all on these apps showing guns and talking about what he was going to do. All this stuff. So, you know, you have to look at the mindset of this young man, you know, and it's a good chance that something happened to him that he didn't even talk about.
Mm.
You know, the mother didn't know about it because she always said, oh, he was so quiet. But that doesn't mean that something didn't happen. Something happened to him that she had no awareness of.
Right.
The father was the same thing. No one saw it.
Yeah.
No one saw it. No one knew about it. But then it was festering behind the scenes. There was underneath all of this stuff that he was dealing with, this rage was boiling deep down inside himself. You see what I'm saying? Apparently, and he knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to come out of that. He had already given up his life at that point. So all of that toxic that he felt inside just came on out. That's all it did. It was already inside of him. period of time. Now, he was only 18 years old, so the question is, when did it start?
Right, right. Because
18.
Yeah.
Now, I guarantee it was when he was grade 8, like, you know, like school age, you know, and some type of grade school when he was bullied or when something happened to him when he didn't feel protected by adults. It could have been some type of abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse, or something had to feed that fire of destruction inside of him. People just don't wake up killing people.
Right.
This is something that has a mounting, as one would say. It starts low and it mounts high until it gets demolished. And either the person's going to die with them or they're going to survive. And most of the time, if the father, and we know this to be sure, the father is the father starts it, he is going to self-destruct. He's not going to live to see a day in court.
So when people are at that point of uncontrolled rage, it really is suicidal. They just take some people along with them. But
correct.
Really, the reason why they can do these horrific acts, they don't really plan to come out of it and survive it and explain what happened. They plan to end their lives, and they're taking everybody with them.
Right.
For whatever act of vengeance that represents in their minds.
That's how it works. That's how it works, because they know at that point, like, I mean, I was even shocked at the situation in New York that the young man didn't kill himself, but he walked away so calmly, which was odd to me.
That was very odd.
It was odd to me how they even took him so calmly.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that there was no struggle, no nothing. He just walked away with them as though everybody just knew what they were doing, like it was something already planned.
Yeah, that was a different sort of a thing.
It was, wasn't it? Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
Even though the same thing happened.
Yeah, but there's no difference in
murder.
Yeah.
Murder is murder. It doesn't matter. Even though it was, again, you know, a different race that was murdered. But like I said, that young man, he was white and murdered, you know, black individuals and injured some white ones.
So he was not suicidal.
Apparently not.
And apparently he had a vision of his life continuing even after he did this heinous act.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, all of these acts of violence, of course, they're dysfunctional behaviors, whatever the triggers. But, you know, when there are personal relationships, when you are destroying the lives of those you love, that's not love. But people stay much too long with someone who is obviously imbalanced and obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, it's fear that keeps us tied to them, because we've seen that somebody can get a order of protection, and that means absolutely nothing, because nobody can really protect you against someone who is out of their mind. If they're not in prison, you can't protect someone from someone who is free to go wherever they choose, and they don't care, and they're suicidal, so they don't really care what happens to their life. So, of course, they don't care what happens to yours. So, you know, but I think when it comes to finding ourselves in relationships where we're tied to someone and we believe we need to save them from themselves, that's when we have to do the soul searching and say, why am I staying with someone who is imbalanced and potentially harmful? What's inside of me that's not loving myself? The reason why I'm allowing myself
to be in pain.
To be in pain.
Because it's only triggers. I mean, triggers are just, they are. Most people create their own buttons. The buttons are not created, but we create our own, and we don't get rid of them. We figure like, oh, this is how I'm supposed to treat myself. This is how I'm supposed to react, you know. I think the other had another comment. She said, mass shootings usually had a rabbit hole of truth not seen.
Yes, that's it.
But thank you, everyone, for joining us on Soulful Solutions. Thank you, Naima, as always. And I know this is a topic that, like I said, it has an ongoing discussion because there's so much to it that people don't know. But just check yourself, you know, ask yourself, am I in this relationship because of whatever it is? If it's unhealthy, you know it's unhealthy because it's not going to give you no peace.
Right.
That's it. So get the courage to change.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.